Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm heartbroken. I hate it when old friends start acting like they weren't your friends. That is the most disgusting behavior I can think of. And I've done so much in my life. I know I'm going to get hit in all sorts of ways, and I'm totally fine with it. I really don't care about... People are asking me sometimes, don't you care about all the attacks against you in the media? No, that I really don't give a shit. But there is one thing I never got used to. It is the betrayal by people who you once respected, by people who have been interacting with you when you're at the top, and then suffice that you're not at the top anymore and their true face shows up. And Brittany Venti has done a case of this. We will analyze her disgusting behavior. How ridiculous is it? Ramsey Paul, her going... It's like it took false allegations that I murdered my wife for you guys to change your view on me. You didn't fall for the false allegation where I was a pedo. You didn't fall for the false allegation where I was a rapist, a wife abuser. It took this. It took really, oh my God, this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Murderer! Oh my God, they fall for it and they will all expose themselves. I believe that one of my legacy on the internet would have been to show that just a guy, just a French guy is enough to expose all of these frauds that are surfing on the right when it's convenient and then disavowing people when suddenly it's not. Dino Lugovic says, I heard JF kick the puppy. Yes, maybe we'll get another e-celeb abandoning me with this new story. Master Slave says, every time JF says, my girlfriend, you have to take a shot. Well, my girlfriend recommended a wonderful Twitter account. And let me tell you, as a man who is born on Twitter, I've always been on Twitter since the beginning. I made a career out of dragging attention on Twitter. I hadn't heard about the transformed wife. Godly womanhood, the transformed wife. A wife, a mother, a grandma, and a keeper at home loves Jesus and is not afraid to speak truth because it sets you free. She is right on target on understanding feminism, understanding what's the problem with modern marriage, why are modern marriages failing, and totally understands the woman question. She says here, women complain that there are no good men. Women are mostly responsible for this. They're the ones who left their homes for the workforce, their children in daycare, and divorced their children's father. There are few women raising good sons at home and committed to their husbands. That is true, partly. I don't think we must not believe that the behavior of men is solely dictated by the environment and culture. I don't believe this. I believe that if there are no good men, it is because our society doesn't reward good men. I've known here on the show, people come to consult me for their personal life. And I've known again and again, men for whom I'm obligated, they are good men. They want marriage, they want stability, and I'm obligated just so that they get access to some degree of sexual market value. I'm obligated to counsel them to become a little more of an asshole. And that is the story of our civilization. It's not just that they're bad. They're capable of being an asshole. They're capable of being good. But in this environment, good gets exploited. In this environment, if I want to ensure that this guy will get laid, there are some instructions that I need to give him that make him more of an asshole. And that is not because of education or because of early childhood. It's because the current environment is not propitious, is not leading in the right direction. It is punishing good behavior and rewarding bad behavior. And yes, female sexual selection is totally involved. Yeah, because before we talk about the betrayal, Phantom of the Odyssey says, excellent debate, Jeff. Yeah, it was an interesting debate. But I didn't want it to be a debate. I wasn't aiming for a debate yesterday. But, you know, I have my instincts. I'm a debater. And the guy titled, Debate on the Jewish Question. So when I was initially thinking I'm headed toward an interview, it's going to be kind and everything. I'm going to be kind with him. But then I saw he titled Debate on the Jewish Question, and my instinct as a blood sports man of the internet, my instinct went, okay, maybe he's going to try trapping me. So I have to prepare for this like it's a debate. And it turned out that he didn't betray me. He didn't try to catch me, and he wasn't really in the mood of a debate. But just because he gave the title Debate to the video, my brain totally went, all right, you're preparing for war, JF. And it turned out to be kind of a debate because there were lots of things. This guy is all about, he has a very snaky cognition. Like, it's as Jewish as a cognition as I've ever seen. And we've seen stuff back in the days, I mean. But he had the extreme Jewish reflex of never engaging on the main subject and trying to slide like an artistic skater, like trying to spin. You know, these gymnasts, they spin in all directions, and he was spinning and spinning, and all I was trying to do is to try to fixate on some important issues. I believe I was totally able to deliver my perspective, but it was constantly trying to, oh, well, what about other things than race? It's like, maybe there's other things than race. You know, I'm not here to say race is everything. But let's talk about race, can we? And I mean, I was stuck with non-responses, at times agreements. And I think that I was able to capture exactly the point I wanted to make, which is there is a problem. There is a problem with jello thinkers. I use the word jello from Carlo Maxworth on the regular chat. Jello thinkers being in charge of the thinking for Western civilization. There is a massive problem when it comes to our genetic and demographic interest. Because we have a whole intelligentsia that doesn't give a shit about our existence. And not only this, if it was just this, we could say, all right, well, should I just watch Jewish intellectuals for everything else and then have a specialized thinker when it comes to the subject of demographics? That could work in principle. But where it doesn't work is that the Jewish intelligentsia is going after everyone who would propose an alternative thought system. They're going after people like me and separating me from people like Brittany Venti by making her believe false stuff about me. So this is where there's an interference. This is where the cohabitation between the Jewish intelligentsia and a nationalist one cannot really exist, because the Jewish intelligentsia remains silent while their tough boys from Antifa and the far-left journalists are going after us, and while the censors are going after us. So it's like, if I had a couple of people like him, who I spoke to yesterday, like a Brett Weinstein, a Herrick Weinstein, so if I had a handful of these people stand on the public space and say, hey, by the way, all of these lies that you read in the Jewish press about nationalists, we don't support this. We support presumption of innocence. We support not smearing people. We don't support hit pieces paid for in Jewish outlets. If you had a handful of Jews saying this, it might not be so bad. But you have zero. The Jews only come out of the soil. They pop their head out only when one of theirs is affected. And this is some of the points I wanted to make. And I made it beautifully because it turns out that this guy was kind of honest about his true views. You know, he was like, yeah, the truth about race, we shouldn't talk about it. So that's as direct as the Jewish position can be expressed on the subject. That's at the height of the directness of Eric Weinstein. It's like, yeah, yeah, we're going to lie. We're going to lie to you guys. Okay, let's argue about this. Fascinating debate. In the end, you know, not a fascinating debate for the debate, but it was an opportunity to see again the heart of the structure of Jewish cognition, and I think I captured it well. I hope that what I would hope, because I know there's 1,000 people who can go watch this video and understand everything that's wrong about his behavior. What I would hope is that he can watch the debate and understand, oh, yeah, I think like this. Maybe that's a problem. All right. Let's talk about betrayal, because as I was saying earlier, out of all the things that my job requires, I'm ready to take it all, and I honestly have zero emotion. You can literally publish false press about me, claiming that I'm a murderer. It doesn't affect me in the morning. I will wake up, I will eat the same breakfast that I would have eaten otherwise, or no breakfast at all, but I'll be happy, and I am totally unaffected. I see these things from a pragmatic perspective. I make money. I sell books. You call me a murderer, I sell more books. That's it. It's a mathematical equation. It sucks. 99.9% of the population of humans couldn't handle this, and I can. So I don't care going to the bat. And I like going to the bat because in the end, if there's a defect with our intelligentsia and our journalistic class, we must expose it. If they're so stupid as to go for the low-level allegations of the kind that they go when it's about me, we should know about this. We should know that we don't have a journalistic class in this country. So in a way, it's my job, and I do it well. But there is one aspect of my job that really gets to me. It actually breaks my heart, and it actually generates emotion inside of me. It's when these old friends of mine fall for it. Because my contribution on the internet was to give a taste, to open just the window a little bit on a possible world. A world in which creators would be associated together and reject the mainstream together, reject their lies, and not let these lies break our relationships. And we were about to totally destroy mainstream media, so much so that even with censorship, they haven't fully recovered. Even with the tricks of a biased Twitter that was propping them up in the trends every week while banning people like me, the mainstream media has never recovered. But this association requires one thing. It requires people stand by their principles, and that you don't stop a friendship, you don't stop a productive relationship on the basis of the lies of those who gain from attacking independent creators with these lies. And so yesterday I was naively just enjoying my time on Twitter. And I see that there's some bullshit going around, a catfight going around Lauren Chen, Rachel Wilson, the wife of Andrew Wilson, and Brittany Venti. And I'm like, holy shit, I have hearts in my eyes here. Bong, bong, bong. Those are three females that I got to know in various ways that I highly respect. Lauren Chen. She rose as the millennial roaming whatever, and back in my days. And she always had, despite having contracts with big corporations, she always stood publicly decently. And she always stood publicly alongside independent creators. Rachel Wilson, well, I know less about her. It doesn't date from back in the days, but I know her as the wonderful wife of Andrew Wilson, and I know her about as a fair person because I remember all of her comments on the regular chat when I appear on Andrew Wilson. And, you know, she stands in my mind as, other than my own girlfriend, the image of a perfect wife out there that exists, you know, as a stand-in exception to the whole female race. And then Brittany Venti, if you had asked me yesterday who would stand strongly beside me out of these three women, I would tell you certainly Brittany Venti comes first. Brittany Venti was there in the first week of the Public Space episodes. Brittany Venti has been constantly interacting with me through the Warski Live days. We meme together. She was coming for free on my show, The Public Space number 7 features Brittany Venti. The Public Space number 7. We're at JFG Tonight number 1036. You want to know how deep that goes? I mean, this is stunning. TPS number 7 in 2018 was with Brittany Venti. And so I wanted to comment on this whole thing. So this whole thing boils down to, you will remember the boobs of this woman. This woman with absolutely stunning boobs and the hashtag Cakegate. And people will remember she has a Christian cross in the neck and she published a video of her boobs preparing some sort of bakery. I didn't pay attention to what specifically her boobs were cooking. But so she's there and her boobs are standing, you know, out of her shirt and they are kind of signaling, I'm here throughout the video. And people were discussing, is this trad? Is this, because she still has a shirt to cover them, is this really trad? Is this really Christian? Is this really whatever, conservative or whatever? So that is what Cakegate is all about. And basically, I suppose that Rachel Wilson stands against the boobs and Brittany Venti stands siding with the boobs. Although she does wear a modesty paper here, so she's kind of mocking the situation too. Sorry. So that is the debate. And naively, I just wanted to participate as a friend. I consider myself a friend and fan of these three women. I was like, are we gonna get a debate moderated by Lauren Chen with Rachel Wilson facing Brittany Venti on a single stream? I'm here for it. So a naive, I'm just rooting for this to happen. And then I thought, okay, what side would I take on this debate? Well, Brittany Venti, my loyalty to her dates from Tion says, why women deserve less? Yeah, this is the lesson today, which is you can be loyal as much as you want toward a woman. She's not going to reciprocate. So I thought, okay, I'll say something. I do remember something from Brittany Venti that does qualify her as a trad speaker, conservative speaker of the internet. I said, I can testify that Brittany Venti is a genuinely trad etot. Back in the days, she spent all day preparing cookies for me for an interview we had scheduled. I thought since the theme of Cakegate is all about who's a true trad who's a true conservative female speaker, just how much boobs can you show on a stream while keeping it Christian? I thought it's important to know that Brittany Venti, back in 2018, you know, when people were preparing intellectually for debates, she was cooking cookies. Now, this bitch, this fucking evil hoe, starts claiming that I'm a liar. And I hate this. I hate because I am so self-conscious about truth. When you start claiming I lied somewhere, I'm like, did I? Holy shit, did I misremember? I remember Brittany Venti cooking cookies as a trad wife. Where does this come from? Did I misinterpret? Did I forget about something? Have I just lied to the public space? Doubting Thomas says, lol, wasn't those the Nestle Walmart cookies? We'll get there. But I'm like, I can remember Brittany Venti being a credible trad wife with her plateau of cookies on a stream. And this evil bitch says, never happened. Where is your missing wife? And this is where I'm heartbroken. There you go. The little insult. The loaded question. An old friend who wants to dissociate with me, but lies in the process because she has to act like this has never happened. Like, she's never cooked these cookies. And she adds, post proof if I'm lying. And so I had to search through the archives of the internet. And here's the proof. Brittany Venti on a stream with me. In 2017, 2018, she had prepared cookies and she said, you know, I've cooked these cookies for you. I'm a trad wife, blah, blah, blah. Here you can see Rouge V live, Papa JF live, Brittany Venti live, and Andy Warski, the man of lower intelligence on that panel. And so I was like, yeah, you did cook these cookies for me. Here's the proof. And her response, so I said, and as far as her question, where is your missing wife? I said, oh, how sad it is to see people for whom I used to have respect fall for the cheapest of tricks. Hope you destroy this lying hoe, Rachel, for patriarchy. So now you turn me from a fan of Brittany Venti, rooting for Brittany Venti, and now I'm knives out for Rachel. Rachel, I want you to destroy this fucking liar. So after I pose the proof that she did, cook these cookies, I mean, she's the one who made this meme, and I posted this proof in the sense of inviting her. Come on, meme. Make a joke about it. It's like, you're Brittany Venti. You say stupid stuff as a job 24/7. Literally, your job is to be stupid. Like, I remember back in the days, Brittany Venti was memeing on... She was starting to cry on camera. That was her thing. She was starting to cry and she was asking for donation. I remember Brittany Venti fooling her fans into, oh, I need some help. Oh, no. There wasn't the Venti coffee at Starbucks. I remember this was her whole routine. So I'm like, I'm publishing this whole support of her as a cookie cooker, with the goal of giving her an opportunity to meme with me, make some jokes like back in the days. And now she decides instead of, she could have ignored it. Like, you're not forced to meme with me. You're not forced to join the jokes. But instead, she decides to play as if she wasn't my friend. Like very elementary school levels of behavior. Like, oh no, I don't even know you. Look at this. You mean the obviously pre-made Keebler cookies I bought on for the Bloodsports episode to troll Rouge about being trad? You fell for it 6 years later? Lol. Don't flatter yourself. See, what I see in this don't flatter yourself, she's trying to eliminate the archives as if we had never been friends. And so I responded to her reveal that, oh my God, those are store-bought cookies. Those are not true trad cookies. I said, so it was a lie all along. I'm very disappointed. I guess it's true what they say. Never trust e-girls. You broke my heart, Brittany Venti. But this whole don't flatter yourself is a very childish response of yours. And this whole where is your missing wife is a dissociation that you do. You use the excuse of the murder allegations to really dissociate yourself from someone with whom you used to be smiling and cooperative and fun.
Audiences that are trolling her. I have the greatest respect for her work. She is one of the original streamers. Brittany, for those who don't know you, what can you say about yourself?
I'm a streamer that doesn't really take herself too seriously. A lot of people don't really understand, because with my streaming style, it's not on the surface. It's like you need to have somewhat of a functional brain and be able to understand irony or jokes, which a lot of people can't, especially if you have this filter called being a woman. So I've been streaming and doing satire, irony. Sometimes I do chill streams for about 4 years now, because it's about summer. So yeah,
so you need to have a very high IQ, to be fair, to understand Brittany Venti. I was one of the early fans.
No, that's the sad part. You actually need a mediocre IQ, but it seems that even a lot of people don't even have that, which is really says something.
So this is on the internet forever. No matter how much you bring false allegations from the media against me, Brittany, you have been a friend. We have memed together. There you were being your little sarcastic, ironic self. And I wish the old Brittany would have shown up yesterday rather than the psychotic person who believes I killed my wife on no basis at all. That is absolutely ridiculous. Ariel Suarez says, Jeff, you have always had a classy style about you. Excellent choice of dressing. Yeah, back in the days, I had more diverse dressing with suits. I think suits is a little overdone. The Bird Flu says, Jeff, hey, what is the map in that background? I think it's the map of Lord of the Rings or something. I was using it to hide the window in my mom's house, because I was filming this at the moment I was driving back from the US into Canada, and I didn't have a place to live yet, so I had this map to hide the window. yeah, so very disappointing to see someone who used to be understanding that the lies out there are to be dismissed suddenly decides to believe them. Is it because I took position on race and IQ, and since then Brittany, has started to identifying more and more with her black part? Because let's be clear here, Brittany Venti is a Blasian. She is like 75% Asian, 25% black. And you can totally see that she's playing the Asian back in those days. And the Asian Brittany Venti liked me. But since she has gone full frizzy, she has turned toward amplifying her 25% blackness. So is it the black Brittany Venti that hates me and the Asian Brittany Venti that tolerates me? I don't know. But, you know, sometimes people, with the stacking of all these white supremacist attacks that they do in the media and, oh, you're a murderer, you're a wife abuser, eventually there's one thing that touches their heart. Is it the whole white supremacy stuff? Is it she considers that at this point, I'm not good for her views, I'm not good for her audiences, so I'm not worth anything to her anymore? In any case, this is the kind of woman this is the kind of behavior you can expect from these women who are constantly draining. They're like a little ball of parasitism. And, oh, you're bringing me more viewership, I'll go on your show. Oh, you're small now, I'm going to betray you. DK Shadow says she knows her audience. Yeah, I mean, certainly her audience isn't alt-right, so she has nothing to lose betraying her principles or betraying principles that she could have had. For the purpose of just more moral displays toward her destiny kind of orbiter now type of audience. But it is so sad. It's so sad because the old internet was gathering humans together. And humans don't do this to each other. Humans with respect to each other, they don't do what she's done yesterday. So fuck Brittany Venti. I hope she gets raped in that debate by Rachel for Patriarchy, like like a van, a 10-wheel van just going over her body back and forth. Vroom, 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 vroom. Can you hear it, Brittany? It's the train of your defeat coming. Silver Spider says, I thought Jeff was going to say he hopes she gets actually raped. I couldn't say this. All right. Let's talk about the news. I'm trying to just turn on my little mute button here. Okay. Colin Oxworth says, I'd prefer the raping to the 10-wheeled van, to be honest. Oh my God, Vivek has a weird approach to this campaign. He's going for a very specialized theory about why we should vote for him. Vivek is presenting, and I have to grant, this theory kind of makes sense. Vivek is saying, you know, he had already shared part of that theory before. He's saying they're trying to get Nikki Haley to come second. They're trying to build her as the alternative to Trump. And then they're trying to invalidate Trump's candidacy. And now suddenly Nikki Haley becomes number one. That is very interesting as an idea. I think it may be what the Republican elite are headed for. They are basically rooting for the Democrats to be successful in their whole insurrection judiciary process. And Nikki Haley, of course, cannot gather more than like 20% maybe if she's really performing good. But if she gathers 20% and they can make sure that there's not a candidate, an alternative candidate showing up to be good second, if Trump gathers a lot of votes too, then we have a Trump versus Haley, and then Trump gets the grass cut under his feet by the judiciary process, and then some officials in the Republican Party say, oh yeah, Trump cannot be candidate because he's made an insurrection, blah, blah, blah. And therefore, Nikki Haley is the candidate. That makes absolute sense, Vivek. Now, it's a bold theory to try to win the normie vote. I mean, can you even explain this theory to the average American?
They are.
They're scared of Trump.
Oh,
they are scared.
And they will stop at nothing, but we're not going to let them get away with it. I've got fresh legs. I'm not wounded. And they're not going to let this man do it.
You know, when you
this
said eliminate, that gave me a chill. Because I'm scared.
Because you think it's false or because you think it's true?
I think it's true. I think they will stop at nothing to stop them. Stop Trump.
It's sad, but it's the truth. It's the sad, but it's the truth. So I'm asking you to do your part, and we're going to...
You know, when
we
I
can
do
this.
Polls,
we can do this.
Poll, yeah. They say, how do you feel about the United States? And I say, I'm worried and I'm fearful.
My job that you don't have to feel that way in this country.
But we're losing it. We're losing it.
It pains me to hear that.
We need people like you. We're going to
do this one. And that's where our founding fathers were.
Yes.
It's 1776 moment, so I want your support that Iowa caucus.
I need emotional.
I'm emotional about this country. I need your support on that.
This is kind of creepy. The whole whispering aspect of it is kind of creepy. good points to Vivek here for the creepiness. His theory that he's laying out is now his main speech. He's saying, vote for me in Iowa because you want to have me as a second, as a backstop against this strategy. And that is a solid... A solid invitation. Now, the big problem with this is the dilution of the pro-Trump vote. How do you get, because it would be easy if we coordinated, if we could say, let's take 15% of the Trump voters, make them vote Vivek. That would work. But with voting, you never know because you never know what the others are doing. Because of the privacy of it. But I do hope that that Vivek succeeds. I don't think that it's particularly likely. I think that Vivek is very low in the surveys. I think that Haley is taking over, probably pushed by a very elitist part of the Republican Party. But he threatened Trump so hard with this strategy that Trump at this point, had to talk against Vivek on his Truth Social, and he published a message yesterday saying, "Don't forget that Vivek is my political opponent." Doubting Thomas says, "Jeff, to be fair, Brittany Venti befriended you at a time when there was no clear public/social cause to be more open about IDs. That changed somewhat dramatically somewhere in 2018, maybe later." Yeah, but the fact is, we changed back. I could have understood her betrayal back in 2019-20 at the height of censorship. But here we are back in a free public space, thanks to Elon. So I don't understand her betrayal now. You shouldn't be afraid of censorship anymore. And it's not like I'm asking her to talk about me on her Twitch stream. I would totally understand if she says, well, you know, Twitch is still very rough on rules. Don't talk about me. I don't care. But don't go out there and betray me with lies. That's my point. There's no gain for you. If anything, you with this whole drama, you are associating with me in internet history again. Because when people Google Brittany Venti, then there will be even more results linked to my name because I have to address the lies that you publish about me. So it's illogical in my view. Lendold says, President Trump delivers pizza to first responders in Iowa. That is how you play it, Vivek and co. Yes, I've seen this this camera opportunity of Trump. Didn't think much about it. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. If you would like to have the dollar button under the Odyssey chat, make sure you add a payment method in your account. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. two U.S. Navy SEALs missing in Arabian Sea. The SEALs were part of a mission targeting a ship allegedly carrying weapons from Iran to Yemen when they went missing in the sea between Somalia and Yemen. Intense search and rescue operations are ongoing for the missing SEALs. So America trying its little gay ops in the Arabian Sea. Was this where they neutralized by Yemen from a missile captured? New guy says they're dead. Okay, maybe there's more details available that I didn't get. Trump wrecks Ramaswamy ahead of the Iowa caucus, calls him deceitful, sly, and not MAGA. Vivek Ramaswamy has apparently flown too close to the sun, drawing the ire of the leader of the Republican Party, like it or not, Donald Trump. Vivek started his campaign as a great supporter, the best president in generations, etc. Unfortunately, now all he does is disguise his support in the form of deceitful campaign tricks. Very sly, but a vote for Vivek is a vote for the other side. Don't get duped by this. Don't waste your vote. Vivek is not MAGA. So here Trump signaling clearly he's not into this whole trickery of Vivek. He's not into this whole strategic voting to put Haley in third position. But I have to say that Vivek makes a convincing case. What do you have, Trump, to counter the strategy of the Republican Party if they kick you for insurrection? If it turns out that the people most interested in this whole insurrection prosecution of yours happens to be the people on your side, who present themselves as friends, but who are there to ensure your neutralization. Tom NSC was sharing a video of Coach Red Pill. Now that Coach Red Pill is dead, it was good to just see this. You know how Coach Red Pill was titling all of his videos and making all of his thumbnails like this? It's good to feel this again. It had been a while I hadn't seen a title style of Coach Red Pill. Girls with tattoos.
If you meet a girl who has tattoos, know that she is crazy. No exceptions. Yeah, I used to think that maybe a girl with tattoos wasn't completely insane. You know, the girls that have like tattoos all over their chest, for instance, you know that they're crazy. Ditto with those girls who put tattoos on their thighs, right? And forget about, you know, putting a tattoo on your face, okay? You put a tattoo on your face, you're just screaming out to the world that you are fucking out of your mind, that you have zero impulse control, zero taste, and that you're just basically a fool. Like, how do I put this? In Spanish, we have a saying that's perfect for this. It doesn't translate very well into English, but I'll say it anyway. In Spanish, it's más peligroso que mono con navaja. More dangerous than a monkey with a razor blade. Yeah, a girl who tattoos her face, that's how crazy that chick is gonna be, yeah? No exception. But what about the girl who has like the little tattoo? The little tattoo very discreetly, like on her hip maybe, or maybe on her ankle. Just the one little thing. You know, the one little, I don't know, little Chinese symbol or something like that. Is she crazy too? Yes, absolutely. No exceptions. No matter how small the tattoo, no matter how discreet, no matter how whatever, she's nuts. By definition, I used to think that this wasn't the case. I used to think that a girl with a little tattoo, a little discreet little symbol or whatever the hell, was okay, like a heart or something. Or there was this one girl I knew, she had a little dolphin, right? And she had a little dolphin on her chest, and she told me how much she regretted it. She'd gotten it, and then like within like a week, she told me that she regretted it and wanted to get it.
Always good to hear the speech rhythm of Coach Red Pill. It's very easy to bash on the girls with tattoos. Of course, what Coach is not telling you here is, what about girls without tattoos? Well, they're crazy too. It's pretty easy to say, well, all girls with tattoos are crazy. The thing is, all girls without tattoos are crazy also. So you're going to have to balance out the fact that they have or don't have tattoos with other considerations, because the tattoo itself is not that informative. The fact that they're a woman, though, that is a strong predictor. COVID-19 shots linked to autism in vaccinated rats. A study from Turkey discovered that female rats injected with mRNA COVID-19 vaccines gave birth to offspring exhibiting symptoms of autism and lower neuronal counts in the brain. Okay, it's interesting that we see some symptoms, though the idea of an autistic rat probably false. It's probably inducing some sort of neurological thing, and we end up saying, oh, it's kind of like autism because it has something to do with social rat interaction, but it's probably very distant evolutionarily from the brain mechanism that generate social interactions in you. So I reject this whole autism in rat, but no surprise particularly that vaccines would lead to some neurological effect after everything we've seen that they've been disrupting and the people dying and suffering from it. Not surprised by the finding. Americans identifying as Democrats hits a record low. A Gallup poll released on Friday reveals that a record low percentage of Americans who identify as Democrats in 2023. A record low percentage. It's poorly written there. Independents, meanwhile, take the cake with 43% of Americans identifying as such. There is a schism on the left. We should exploit this. It's what gives us a good chance in 2024 to win with Trump. It's the fact that the left is not united. There is a bunch of people in the Democrat Party who are starting to feel uncomfortable around children, LGBT, abusive education around trans and all this kind of stuff, gender neutral raising. That is starting to be a problem for some. The war in Israel versus Gaza is starting to be a problem for a lot of the far leftist anti-war. And it's going to be very hard for the Democrat Party to stimulate the same hatred of Trump that has led in 2020 to his defeat, and combined with the whole unorthodox methods of voting that were allowed, it's going to be very hard to recoup on all these ingredients to make a strong Democrat victory in 2024. So it's the right time to hit with the strongest candidate, which at this point seems to be Trump. It's the right time to dream to have a Republican candidate again in the White House, perhaps for one of the last times. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, Trump is insufficiently right-wing. But that's what we can get before American society fully falls into crappy leftism. Fauci recognizes now that the 6-foot distancing rule just sort of appeared. Fauci comes clean over the science-less 6-foot distancing rule. You still bump into the stickers from time to time, 6 feet of distance. It's weird and anachronistic at this point. No one pays attention anymore. Still, it would be nice to know where this came from. Oddly, we don't really know. Anthony Fauci was asked this question this week in U.S. House hearing on the COVID response. And his answer was, it just sort of appeared. Man, we saw it appear and we called it out and we got banned for it. I still may have gotten banned from Twitter, not for the race stuff, but maybe for the COVID stuff. It was right in those years that I got banned. And so, yeah, we were silenced on this. And you can see in the way they, like, you have a Fauci that doesn't quite say that it's science-less then. He doesn't say it at all. He waits years later to say it. But why weren't you there, Fauci, saying it's there's no science behind it then? That's where it mattered. That's where it could have changed the course of things. But they always talk later. They let the bureaucrats impose their arbitrary power. And then they say, oh, well, what happened? Oh, I don't know. Well, it happened so fast. Oh, my God, I didn't know what to do. NBC News admits that the deep state exists to save us from Trump's return. Well, actually, this is not so different from the kind of bragging they had done before. Because I remember they were talking about election fortification. They were talking about hidden teams of specialists who were making sure that the election was fortified. So Democrats bragging about using the force of the federal government to impede on Trump's ability as a president or stop Trump from being a president is not a new thing. But what it reveals is that the leftists are truly afraid. It's afraid, because if they weren't afraid of Trump possibly winning, they wouldn't activate all this bragging. And it doesn't turn good for them when they activate this bragging, because we quote them years later and we show, hey, so they were bragging about election fortification in 2018, 2019, and then they fortified our democracy in 2020. And fortification basically meant loosening the gathering of the vote to basically people being pressured in their welfare paid for apartments to vote against Trump by Democrat agents. That's what election fortification was. But I don't think they can pull as big of a coup here today. It's harder in 2024. There's not the COVID excuse that will show up. And the people itself will be extremely less motivated to go vote for a Joe Biden when they see inflation, when they are in an economy that is not particularly interesting compared to the Trump years. It's going to be very hard to convince these people to vote for Joe Biden, because there's no record of success with Joe Biden. Kyle Bass blasts the U.S. government for giving China the micronuclear battery tech. So apparently they made this nuclear battery smaller than a coin, can generate electricity at 3 volts constantly for over 50 years without charging, maintenance, or radiation leakage. So amazing. The beta vault, do not dismantle. Do not dismantle or you die. But yeah, I mean, I I don't know what to think about this nuclear batteries. I really want better batteries. I am exhausted at the lack of quality in batteries. Batteries are painful. They are not efficient. They stop working. And it's like, what do you do when a battery stops working? You often abandon the whatever crappy thing it was powering, you know? I'm not a guy to change batteries. Mama JF, it was her job. She changed the battery. She managed this whole bag of battery that we had. Personally, if something has a battery that has no more energy, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not going to go get my screwdriver to open the little door, change the battery. It's like, oh no, it's done. I can't use this anymore forever. So yes, I welcome a battery that would be like a lifetime battery. But are we going to be carrying this nuclear stuff around us? And like, when you break that battery, what happens? You literally get cancer. You might die. What's happening when we break that battery? I would like to know, because there's going to be accidents. There's going to be some stuff happening with these batteries. Anyways, it's encouraging to see that perhaps there is a hope for a battery that could give current for 50 years. 50 years is something. And an Air Force whistleblower's concern are legit over the U.S. government UFO program cover-up House Oversight Committee, but it's more of the bullshit. I'm tired of whistleblowers, and this will be our last news item tonight. I don't give a shit about any whistleblower, anyone who's seen a non-human. And as I was pointing out in my show before, bananas are non-human, so I don't care about whether you've seen a non-human. I see non-humans every day. I see bananas, apples, chicken, pigs. They're all non-human. I want a picture or a video of an actual extraterrestrial just driving, chilling in an extraterrestrial vehicle, just talking to the camera and explaining to us what's life like as an extraterrestrial, where he comes from, where he's going, why he's on Earth. Below this, I don't give a fuck about UFO fascination. I don't believe any of it. You guys are bullshitters. I've been reading the .NFOs back in the BBS days, back in the 90s. Just reading the documents of these whistleblowers, and it's like, oh yeah, Area 51 and stuff. I don't believe it anymore. I want a stream. I want a live stream with the extraterrestrials, motherfucker. Thank you.